I'm going to set a timer. I think it's going to go off if I know how to use my phone. And I'm going to stop. And we're going to just go before the Lord in gratitude and waiting upon him. But I'm going to start it right now for 15 minutes. And I'm going to talk really fast. On the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 6. As we celebrate tonight our 35th anniversary as a church, the Bible says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Deuteronomy. This is the commandment of God's people. This is the act of God's heritage, that we've got something to say. We just don't say stuff. We've got something to say to our kids. We've got something to say to our neighbors, to our friends, and to one another. And I have to tell you, and I want you to mark that verse down, because this is something that Lisa and I in many ways have failed to practice, frankly, because we've been just too busy over the last 35 years. We need to slow down and take it in. And some of the things I'm going to point out to you tonight is but a freckle, a fraction of what God has done. And many of you don't know what good things the Lord has done. And so 35 years ago, what preceded this fellowship starting was, and again, redundant for some, but new to some of you. So I got saved in 1977, and Lisa and I were married in 1979, and God was very good to us, because when I met her, I was making really stupid money. All legally. I wasn't doing drugs or anything. I was actually working hard, making a lot of money. I asked her to marry me. We're engaged. We're worshiping God. We love the Lord. We're going to Calvary Costa Mesa. Everything's great. And then God, because he had a plan, 3 weeks before our wedding, I thought I had a better job offer. I said yes to that job offer. And my boss found out, my current boss found out about that job offer and did some pretty legal activity, and that scared the company that hired me. So they said, "Look, we got to have this lay low for a while. I mean, your boss is terrifying. He went nuts. And it was really crazy." And I said, "Well, okay, that's just fine and dandy, but I'm getting married in 3 weeks." And they said, "Yeah, don't worry about it." So then a month went by, and they said, "Yeah, we're not going to hire you at all, because your boss is just threatening to burn down our building." So it's like, okay, God, this is really great, God. This is amazing. And the Lord was teaching me a lesson, because when you're 21 years old with disposable income, that's not a good thing. And I loved God, but I think, honestly, I was trusting in money at that time, to be honest with you. And God took that all away. And I got a job working minimum wage. You want to know what minimum wage was in those days? It was, I think it was $2.35 or $3.70 or $2.73. I can't remember what it was, some odd number. An hour, $2. Listen, so don't come crying to me about your, "I'm only making $28 an hour." But gas was also 27 cents a gallon. So, okay. But we got married anyway. Lisa's mom really made that happen. She said, "Where's your faith?" And I said, "That hurts." And so what God was doing was stripping the world out of my life. And Lisa was just strong in the Lord, so strong in the Lord. And she could have said, "Hey, let's just cool it until you get a better paying job." She didn't. And the Lord was showing me that for years from that moment on, you'd live by faith. And I mean, that's exactly what happened. In fact, we recounted this story to our oldest daughter, and she got all teary-eyed one time. She thought, in fact, she said, "I didn't know we were poor." Hey, parents, that's a victory. When you don't have nothing and your kids don't think you're poor, you're doing a good job, right? So be encouraged on that. But the Bible says, do not despise the day of small things. And we live that. And so we're at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and Lisa, for a couple of years, worked in the accounting department. There was only two employees. Just think about this. 25,000 people coming to church in a week at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa at that time when Chuck Smith was the pastor. And then she went to work for Chuck personally as his secretary. And everything that God was doing in our lives was to prepare us for what he was going to do out here. And so Lisa was from Anaheim and I was from San Diego, but then both of us, of course, being in Orange County, God brought us together. And I want to encourage all of you. I met my wife playing volleyball at the beach. God lives at the beach, I'm convinced of it. He didn't make those waves and the sun and the sand for lunatics and for Satanists. I think God blessed that, and he sure did for me because I was playing volleyball and I met my future wife all on the same day. And I was being paid for it. How about that? But God was very, very good to us. And in 1980, so we were married a year, we went into an afterglow, a time of waiting upon the Lord, which we'll do tonight. And I was praying in my mind. I was not praying out loud. And I was praying and just asking the Lord, Lord, please speak to me. I need to hear from you because I would love to tell people. That's all my request of prayer was. Lord, I would love to be able to tell people about you, but there's a problem, and that is I stutter really bad, and so I need you to heal me. And in the small group setting we were in of about 700, 750 people, that was a small group there at the time, some guy way up in the front said, you know, I think the Lord is speaking to somebody in here tonight. And it's just like, I mean, you don't care when you hear that stuff. It's just like. And he's praying that the Lord would give him the ability to speak the word of God. And I'm like this. No, seriously, I was like, Lisa was sitting to my right. And I'm listening. And this, whoever this man was, I still don't know who it is to this day. The man says, but the Lord is, the Lord's answer to you is he's going to heal you, but not now. Wait. And study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, that you need not be ashamed. And I turned to Lisa and I said, that was exactly what I was praying. And, you know, you just zip the lip and you just leave it with God. My understanding of that was, if that was from God, he's going to do that. And that means he's going to want me to tell people about Jesus as an evangelist, I'm thinking. Which every believer is supposed to be an evangelist. We're all supposed to tell people. That's all I thought. That's all I was thinking. And so, fast forward, there was a time when the group that we hung out with, they were witnessing to people on Lido Island, and I would always pray for them. Lisa would be with the group. I would be praying. And I saw somebody sitting under a light post on one of the walkways over the water. And I didn't hear a voice. I just had this thought. Go tell this person about me. And it wasn't even hesitation. It was so crystal clear. It's like, all right. And I went up there. I remember she was sitting underneath the light post. And I said, excuse me, but would you mind if I told you about Jesus Christ? She goes, not at all. And I began to share the gospel with this young woman, and we prayed. I didn't stutter once. And then I went looking for Lisa in the group to say, I just shared the gospel with the girl over here, and I didn't stutter. And Lisa said, you're not stuttering now either. And that was a moment where God had answered that word of knowledge, and some of the things now from this moment on, with the few moments I have left, I'm going to, some of the stuff I've not shared before publicly because I didn't have the freedom to, and it'll make sense to you in a moment. So we know this, that in 1982, Lisa was very pregnant, and I did my normal thing, and that is I would go to the Saturday night men's prayer meeting. I don't know why. I did that for years. I don't know why. We never had more than 18 men ever show up on a Saturday night. Even Pastor Chuck Smith would come and pray sometimes. You would think back in those days, he was probably the most famous pastor in the world at that time. You'd think people would just come to see him. No, we never had more than 18 guys, mostly 15 guys. And these old guys, Phil Anderson, one of them, we're on our knees praying. At one moment, and I'm the youngest one in the room, there's a bunch of old guys in there. And so at some point during the prayer meeting, this guy comes over and he puts his hands on my head and he starts praying and prophesying. Now, here's what I've never told anybody publicly as far as I know. He said a lot of things, some of the things I still don't have the freedom to say. But one of the things he said was, the Lord's going to call you into ministry. And I'm thinking, honestly, I'm not joking, don't laugh. I'm thinking, this guy's crazy. Seriously, he's old. It's not going to happen. I just started a new career at a biomedical firm. It's awesome. I love my job. I'm going to retire there at the age of 52. I'll be able to retire. It's perfect. And he's saying, listen. And he said, the world is going to hear you preach the word of God. This, might I remind you, this is before the internet? The Lord is going to use you, and the ministry that he uses you with is going to reach millions of people, and it's going to be printed and read around the world. Which in 1992 happened. Because when the wall came down, we were one of the spearheading churches into Russia to start churches. And from that time on, that about 10-year period of time, I was doing 200,000 miles a year going back and forth to Russia as we started churches. And a couple thousand of you at the time were making those trips with me. I didn't know. I didn't put that together. Lisa and I never lived our lives in such a way that, oh, remember the prophecy, we got to do this now. Never, not once did that ever happen. God just kept his word, and his word was bigger than our faith, I'll tell you that. And so God began to do things, and when I told Lisa, there was a morning, Mark Andrews and I would pray every Wednesday morning, I think at 4 or 4:30. If Mark's here, he can correct my time. But on this particular morning, Mark didn't show up or something happened and I was praying alone. Listen, everybody, cheer up. But something's not, this is not right. It's not right. Or for whatever reason, Mark couldn't show up that morning and I was alone. And it's while I was alone that I didn't hear a voice. I didn't have to hear a voice. It was an overwhelming grab of your heart communication. I don't know how God does this, but this is what he does. Without saying a word, he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. And I knew immediately what that meant because the time preceding, which I left out because I'm panicking about the clock right now. When we had gotten together to start a home Bible study, God just began to slowly add people to it. But as it was growing, if you ask anybody who was around at that time, and they're still here, I was actually telling people, can you not tell anyone else about what we're doing here right now? We have a Monday night study. This is wonderful. The house is full. Everything's fine. But people would keep telling people. And it started growing. And then, we want to do Sundays. We want to do Sundays. And I said, you have no idea what you're talking about. So then I went and told Pastor Chuck, I said, listen, there's a problem happening. The Monday night Bible study has really grown, and you need to find a pastor for what's going on. And Chuck Smith said, okay, I'll work on that. And then months went by. And I called him, and I said, we need help. I got my job. We need to... So then I go to the church and I'm waiting. And for those of you who know, I have 15 seconds. For those of you who know Pastor Romaine, I'm going to pause it and act like it didn't go off. For those of you who remember Pastor Romaine, he was Pastor Chuck Smith's assistant. He actually ran the place. Chuck Smith taught the Bible. Romaine ran the place. So I was there to talk to him, to get some advice. And I'm sitting there at Calvary Chapel. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm your 11 o'clock appointment. I'll never forget it. I'm your 11 o'clock appointment. And he said, get in my car. I'm thinking. So he drives me down to what's called the Word for Today. And he says, you see these boxes here? He said, I need all those boxes up on that top shelf. So you're going to put those boxes up there. And you can tell me what your issue is. And I'll give you my advice. That's how you get ministry done, apparently. So I'm loading these boxes, and I'm telling them, listen, we got a Bible study. It's just gone crazy. We got like 100 people coming, and it's just amazing. But that's not my thing. I got to do this other thing. My career I love, but the people are amazing. And I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And so I'm just talking, and all the boxes get up there, and he says, okay, I want you to come with me now. And Pastor Romaine, do you guys know who I'm talking about? Anybody know? He grabbed me by the hand, like a little schoolgirl. He grabbed me by the hand, like we were going to walk to school. He grabbed me by the hand, and he went over and he knocked on the door, and it was Odin Fong's door. At Word for Today, he knocked on the door, and he opened up the door, and he grabbed me by the shoulders. He put me in the front, and he said, "You see this idiot?" He said, this guy's got a church that's growing and he doesn't want it. He grabbed me by the hand and he led me to the next guy's door, opens it up and it's Jeff Smith. And he said, you see this idiot? He's got a church that's growing and a home fellowship that's growing and he doesn't want anything to do with it. Goes down to the next door and he's just knocking on these doors and I just turned red face. Then I got angry. He didn't know it, but I was angry, humiliated. And then he got me down to the end of the hallway and he said, and he's only like this tall. And he's going like this to me. And he said, listen to me. He said, don't you ever open up your Bible in front of those people again. You find somebody else, but don't you dare open your Bible or your mouth in front of them again. Do you understand me? I didn't even answer him. And so I got back in the car and I went back to work, and then Lisa, she said, what did he say? And I told her, she goes, I am going to kill him. it was amazing. But you know what? Pastor Chuck had been saying, hey, that home fellowship's growing. You should just do a church. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's not going to happen. Men would have died to hear Chuck Smith tell them. And it was the last thing I wanted to hear. And when Romaine did what he did, that's when it clicked. Because I said to Romaine, regarding his remarks to me, I did answer him, and I said, who's going to teach them Bible doctrine? And he said, what do you care? Right then and there, I knew. I didn't know how it would come about, but I knew that I was called to teach the Word of God to God's people. And it was sheer obedience. And just fast forwarding very, very quick, just the whole thing about us coming out here to Chino Hills, you got to remember something. There was no Chino Hills in those days. There was Chino, there was Diamond Bar, and there was Yorba Linda. There was no Chino Hills. It was the San Bernardino County. It wasn't even a city. And when we drove through Carbon Canyon, which we had never driven through before, why? Listen, when you live in Costa Mesa, why would you drive through Carbon Canyon? When we got to the S turns, we thought we had driven to Wyoming. You could smell cows. It was unbelievably rural. We're thinking, what is this? And we're looking for a home because we couldn't. We're a single income family. We made it that way. We had little babies. Couldn't afford a home in Orange County. And Lisa kept looking. And next thing I knew, she says, we got to go to this place. We have to go out to this place. And God provided for us a home that was abandoned. And it was falling into foreclosure. We got it for just $98,000, which was $1 million back then. If I told you how much our house is worth right now, it's a crime. It would be ridiculous. No wonder why people can't afford their homes. I couldn't even afford my home. But we bought that home in 1986. And God just began to put a fellowship together. And I'm missing a lot of things for time's sake. But I want to tell you something right now. There may be more than a few of you that are here tonight that God is calling into some form of ministry. And it may or may not be an evangelist. You may or may not be the one that takes, you know, Greg Laurie's place or somebody. That's not the point. But God may be calling you into a ministry that you never thought you'd ever have. You never would have planned it that way. But God steers and guides. Listen, God all along the way directs our feet, even though we don't even understand. I'm convinced now it's best for us not to know much. Please listen, I'm not being funny. It's best for us not to know much about what he wants to do. It is time for us to know much about his word. But it's best that we not know much about what he wants to do. Just follow him. Amen. You know what? You know all the questions you have? Let me spare you some grief. He's not going to answer you. He's not going to answer you. We've learned a lot about God. One of the things we've learned about God is he keeps his word. Amen. And he never asked us to understand it, by the way. If I were God, I would make sure that you all understood what I wanted from you. No, God says, believe me. But I don't understand. Believe me. But just say okay. If it sounds nuts, if God is calling you to do something and it sounds crazy, math doesn't matter, add up, the whole thing doesn't work right, man, I can tell you, please be encouraged by this. I remember my little Volkswagen that I have, my amazing bug. That became, driving from here down to John Wayne Airport is where the offices, the laboratories were at. Sometimes, before they widened the 55 freeway, sometimes it would take 2.5 hours. To get to work and to get home. That's 5 hours a day, folks, after working at least 10 hours a day. That was every day. You know what God was doing that entire time? In that little car, because I had no radio, I had a bag of batteries and a cassette player. And I had hundreds, years of teaching on cassette tape by Charles Stanley, David Hawking, Chuck Smith, Adrian Rogers. Those guys were my professors. They were my seminary teachers. Every day, 3 to 5 hours a day, Monday through Friday, God had me redeem the time by consuming the word because my radio was broke. It was so awesome that I never got my radio fixed. God wants to use you. Lisa and I still, after 35 years, we wake up and we're shocked, surprised, and blown away like I was blown away yesterday. I didn't look like I was blown away. Everybody thought I was probably expecting a crowd that big. I was the one most shocked in the whole crowd yesterday. But when you show up to what God wants to do, he does it. Amen. He gets all the glory. And I got to tell you, After all these years, I'm more excited now to teach the Bible than ever. God has opened up so many other doors of ministry, as you well know, with Real Life Network and other things. But I look around now at the young men and the young women serving at this church. And then I hear, and I'm on the phone with other pastors from other churches who don't have what we have here. I don't know if you understand this, folks, but if I had to fly away at this moment, if I dropped dead at this moment, or whatever at this moment, have you noticed that we have very low or little turnover here at this church? Our associate pastors, our assistant pastors, they've been with me almost forever. I think of Pastor Joel. I held him in my arms when he was 1 year old to dedicate him. Shadrach's been with me. David Axe was with me forever, and then he had the calling of the Lord to get on up to Star. And we've got Colin and Pastor Tate and just all that what the Lord is doing. We have a deep bench, and pastors call me and they say, man, you know, I'm at the end of my calling. It's about time. I can't function anymore. We've got nobody. Can you send somebody? And I say, no, we're not going to send anybody. We've worked hard to invest in our young people. You should have done that, right? Senior pastors are supposed to raise up the next generation. But here's the beautiful thing about this. If you own it, then you're going to kill it. Because you won't let anybody grow up around you. Insecurity does that. I think that comes from a lack of calling or knowing you're called. But let me tell you, I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. I know that I was called. God called me, and it was he put his chains on my arms. Now, they were chains, but they were velvet. Because he's good. But I know this. We could go on forever. The goodness of God, he's paid for everything all the time. Have you ever been here in 35 years and have seen a thermometer for money? Have you ever had a giving service? He's paid it all. How does that happen? Just teaching the Bible. Wait, that doesn't make sense. I know, isn't that great? Makes no sense. Real Life Network, fastest growing thing out there right now regarding Christian broadcasting. How'd that happen? COVID. Thank God for COVID. No, really. God redeemed it. And so with that, I want you to think big things about God. I want you tonight, as we pray and as we worship, we're going to worship up front. Then as the Lord leads, we're going to get still. I want you to expect God to speak to you tonight. Don't get weak on me here now. Don't get spooky and scared. Don't answer either. Inside, answer yourself. Do you really want God? Do you want the Lord to have control of your life? Do you really want him to take over? Do you really want to know what he's capable of? I never thought in my lifetime that I'd get to stand in front of you, that I could speak a sentence. I never thought I'd ever speak to a president. I never thought we'd put a governor on notice that he's violating the will of God. And what years I have left, if I have years left, I am thrilled to see what he might do. So as you pray tonight and as you listen tonight, I'm going to be praying and I'm going to be listening too, because I want to know what he wants me to do next. And that next starts tomorrow. Amen. Right? Is it to say this? Is it to go there? Is it to speak to the neighbor? Is it to, I don't know, neither do. But let's find out.